coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
City with the All-Star Game. And really two hot topics today. I want to play you some audio. You know that we've been talking recently, unless you're just getting into your car now. Like in the last hour, we were talking a lot about the Astros stuff still and the extent of their cheating. We talked to Mark Grace, one of the all-time great hitters. And for average, he didn't hit for much power. Grace told us that as a 303 hitter, he would have hit 450. He would have known every pitch coming his way, that it's that substantial about the effect of knowing what pitch is coming at you as to the success rate that you could have as a hitter.
I think he may have been exaggerating a touch with regard to the batting average, but I do believe that it is an enormous advantage. Enormous.
Jose Altuve hit 347 in 2017 when he won the MVP award.
Yeah. See, that. I mean, what do you think how Jose Altuve would have hit back in the day?
Not sure.
Not 347.
Probably not.
So if you want to weigh in on that, and Cody Bellinger had some interesting things. These guys are not holding back. There's usually a conduct code as far as calling out guys in the media. But with this cheating scandal, they are not scared to call out the commissioner and call out Astros.
And I actually think this is their retribution. I think this is them getting it out there. This is them making their strong statements as opposed to what? Dropping the gloves and fighting?
Not strong enough in my book, though. Yeah. This shouldn't be the... You know, I know. You want to be respected.
Are you advocating fights and hitting players? Is that what you're advocating? Because I'm saying to you, this is the alternative. Guys using strong words and strong thoughts and strong feelings versus expecting to fight every day for the first 3 months.
Do you believe that it will be a free-for-all in the stadium operations department? That when the Astros come to town, they will be playing every cheating song over the PA?
Absolutely.
Because remember, there have been teams sensitive to some other things. I remember back in the day, a White Sox DJ got fired for playing. What was it? Was it Charles Nagy? Right,
Chuck Finley. Chuck Finley, I believe.
Oh, yeah, played the White Snake
right.
song.
Yes, yes.
And he was married because to Tawny Kitaen.
I believe they were getting a divorce.
Right, yeah. Yes. There was a bad in something like domestically went wrong.
Right.
And they played a White Snake song that she was in the video of, and he got fired.
Oh, I'm sure there's going to be plenty of
stuff. So do you think it will be okay to do all that? That when the Astros, Altuve comes to the plate at Yankee Stadium, they're playing like cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater song. You know, yeah. Or like all these cheating.
Cheater, cheater. Yes, I think there will be. Yeah, why not?
All right, 312-332-3776.
As opposed to war on the field, that I don't believe. Don't believe there will be a war.
I think I'm going to tell you this. There will be at least one fight this year due to the grudge. At one point, whether it's because of a beanball or because somebody is at first base chatting up what member of the Astros or something like that.
And then will it go away? And when will it happen?
I don't know if it ever goes away. I mean, as far as retribution, right. But again, I think baseball, you know how they put baseball people in jail and they never forgive them.
I got you. But again, if you hit one of their guys, you're going to get hit too. So you're taking your own, you know, I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm just saying it. I don't think it's going to be as wild, wild west as some people think it's going to be. Because, again, like, if you're a Houston Astros pitcher and somebody hits Altuve or one of your other players or George Springer, you know how baseball guys respond. They protect their own. Then your guy's going to get hit. Do you want Cody Bellinger with a broken wrist?
No.
Okay, well,
you know how I feel about retribution in general.
Right.
You know how I feel about that. I think it's stupid and it can only get you hurt.
Weren't there rumors, too, about the Dodgers doing stuff?
I'd rather, instead of taking the baseball and hitting somebody, if Altuve gets to first base and there's a first baseman there who takes exception, or if Cody Bellinger's on first base and he's playing against the Astros, if they do this year, I'm not sure. Like, and they want to start chirping and then they just want to drop the gloves like they do in hockey. Fight that way. I'd rather do that then start throwing beanballs at guys.
I mean, Bellinger plays first base for about half the time for the Dodgers, so he'll be able to chirp at any Astros who get on
but
base.
But are they playing this year? You know how that rotates.
That's true.
And they're not in the same, or are they?
Are the West.
Yeah, so they do play them.
You know how baseball guys are, too. I mean, you know, there's a lot of pushing. It's a lot of yapping. But they don't normally get to throwing down. So I'm not expecting. I'm probably the only guy on the face of the universe right now that doesn't think this is going to get out of control. There'll be some stuff, but I think it's going to go away quickly.
You're usually right, though, when it comes to this. We usually get stuck in the hyperbole and think that it's going to be everything's going to capitalize off of something big that happened. You're like, well, just remember in 6 months from now, things die down. Yeah. And this goes for the fighting stuff, too.
You don't want to get your guys hit.
I also want to play you this if you're a lonely Bulls fan like me. So I was at First Take for the last 2 days.
Only the lonely?
Only the lonely. We have nothing. Think about it. All the best stars are in town. As you put this earlier today, Waddle, this is lose, lose, lose all weekend if you're the Bulls. You don't have a single all-star. The weather is freezing. So when the stars tonight go out in Chicago and they're at the clubs and they step out of the club for that 5-second walk to the SUV, they say, boy, I remember why I don't want to ever live here in the middle of winter.
Absolutely.
I don't ever want to live here. And they remind themselves why they live in L.A. Anthony Davis reminds himself why he'd rather have a house in Malibu than a house on Lake Michigan.
You don't think Jimmy loves the warm weather in Miami?
Right. So there's that. There's no Bulls All-Star. Zach LaVine today was on First Take, and it was a very, very fun crowd at First Take today. A lot of sports.
Thanks to you riling them up as well.
I was in charge of, like, sort of
getting people. You were the hype man.
I was the hype man.
You were the hype man.
Between breaks and stuff like that. Did some on-air stuff today. But towards the end, Zach LaVine was on the show, and they were talking about the bad Bulls. Max asked him this. And then listen to the chant that developed.
Stephen A. mentioned get you some help. Paxson's built a couple winners in Chicago. Do you have confidence that your GM can get you the help you need?
They might speak differently, man. But you know, I'm with the team, man. You know, I gotta put the team first. They're terrible, man. I gotta put the team first. But you know, it's just the situation we're in right now.
Stop.
So they stopped it. They felt bad for Zach having to talk while his bosses were getting ripped, and they, I think, wanted to save Zach from that.
Yeah, I think they were trying to make an uncomfortable situation for Zach a little more comfortable. That's my impression.
So here we are, and Waddle has said that he hasn't seen a time where, in all the years of us talking Bulls, it's usually a very passionate group, where there's been this fan base that has been as apathetic as they've been. But for one moment there on national TV, with their star player going into the All-Star game, getting interviewed, it was for the country to see on ESPN's highest rated show that just how angry, still even maybe apathetic, but there is still some anger out there towards the Bulls front office.
No doubt. I think there are a ton of angry people. I'm not saying, I just think at this point, sadly, to their detriment, I think there's more apathetic fans than angry fans, but certainly there's plenty of angry fans as well.
And if you're a Bulls fan, were you happy to hear that? Were you happy? Like, again, when you hear 14,000 at the United Center, are you get excited about that? Because now maybe that will provide change when Stephen A. has to shush a Bulls crowd because they're chanting that the front office needs to be fired. Are you happy that this is the exposure that they're getting right now? That you're maybe hurting them? And maybe it could provide changes. This was Scottie Pippen on The Jump yesterday. Remember, this is an advisor to the president of the team, Michael Reinsdorf.
He's not just listed as an ambassador.
No. And they were asking him about the Bulls.
Half the time you look out there, do you know who the starting lineup's going to be?
No, I do not. I don't even know half the players on the team.
Okay. We come on now. I mean, he's invested more than anybody in what happens in this franchise for the last 25 years. Yeah. I've watched every game this year. You cannot get to the eighth spot without help.
I'm buying it, but I mean, those guys that he's talking about, I don't know if they start anywhere else.
Right.
Honestly.
I follow what you're saying, Mike, and I'm with Tracy. the Bulls' starting lineup are not true starters in this league.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They just probably can't
Zach
go to another
starter.
Team.
You see?
Yeah.
Zach. Yes.
Marketing.
I think marketing,
good.
But
he had a good hasn't been what we thought he was going to be.
So that was Scotty, who is an advisor to the owner / president.
Tracy McGrady, you heard his voice as well as Michael Wilbon.
And Michael's been protective about the Bulls. And he, the guy who works for the team, disputed Michael's side and said, other than Zach, I don't know if there's like a true starter on this team right now.
I think it's fair. I mean, who else?
Well, I mean, Lowry would start on most teams.
But he hasn't been the player that everyone thought that he would be.
He's the poster child of the rebuild, isn't he?
Yes.
It's sort of we all expected if he took a leap, the team would take a leap.
That was the expectation. That's, to me, is, look, maybe I was sipping the Kool-Aid a little too much, thinking that they could score the eighth seed in the East, thinking that the East was going to be bad and maybe they could sneak in with some development. But to me, the biggest heartbreaker is that the guys you were expecting to get better haven't shown any promise or haven't shown any progress.
And at this point, Sylvie, you said he would start on most teams. He would start. Lowry would start on some teams.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think about it, and like that's a huge disappointment. Is that I can't even make a compelling argument that he would start. I don't know, maybe half the teams in the league. Definitely not most playoff teams. I don't feel like he'd be a starter.
So what do you think when you hear that? You hear the bad publicity. We're the center of the NBA universe. Very rarely do you ever have this many NBA stars in one town at the same time. It's the All-Star Game and some other very rare circumstances. So we're the center of the NBA world right now. Scottie Pippen, one of the all-time great players, his banner is above the United Center Court. He works for the team. And he's going on national TV talking about how they barely have any guys he recognizes.
This is the valley that people dread.
You have a group of fans who are showing up to a nationally televised show when their star player, who was snubbed, is on stage and they're chanting Fire Gar Packs. Do you think it will make a dent in the way they do business?
Oh, and by the way, it's -4 degrees outside, too.
312-332-3776. So we're going to take a bunch of calls. What did you think about what Mark Gray said? The Astros situation, retaliation, and if this will make a difference with the Bulls' big picture plans. All that and Mark Jean Greco at 5:30 coming up.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
We're taking you into your weekend as we talk about a couple of hot topics going on this cold day, whether it's the Astros and cheating that continues to go on. 96% of you voted on my poll question today at Waddle and Sylvie on Twitter believe that the Astros use buzzers. Mark Grace told us that he believed that, too. And then the Bulls stuff that happened today on First Take and just the bad look. The city hosting all this with no Bulls in the game. Not a lot of positive stuff going on. Joe in Valpo wants to talk about that. Joe, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, so, I want to talk about today's show. From my point of view, it looks really bad on the national level of what the fan base is about. I know we have a reputation being passionate, but you know what? When you are hosting, when you're in the city that's hosting an All-Star game and you say that, I mean, that's not cool. I mean, here's the thing. Fans need to remember how many players under the age of 23 is on this team and how many players over the age of 26 is on this team. The Bulls were rated as the third youngest team in the NBA. When you have that mixed with young players who are injured, like Markkanen, like Wendell Carter Jr., this is what is to be expected. I mean,
they were bad before they got hurt.
Yeah.
Well, so if you remember, opening night, Devontae Graham from Charlotte, he went off on opening night. They lost by 1 point. Bobby Portis in New York went off on a career night. Bulls lost by 7, You take those two games out, they're 5-4 when they had healthy players.
But those did happen.
Joe, if the queen had beans, she'd be the king. I mean, you could play the what-if game all day long, can't
you? I can tell you, I could take the win away against Charlotte. You want me to do that when Zach LaVine miraculously, when they were down 7 with like 15 seconds left? I mean, they are who they are. Yeah. This is who they are, Joe. They're an underachieving team with young
players who aren't developing.
But who may not be that good. I mean, just because you're young, it doesn't mean you're good.
Right. But here's the thing. When LaVine hit that shot, okay, we were without Otto Porter Jr., remember? I'm talking about a fully healthy roster. The starting lineup, when you first started, the intended starting lineup, they played 9 games. That LaVine game in Charlotte, they were without Otto Porter Jr. So you weren't fully healthy.
He's played 25 total games. How much longer can you kick the can down the road and say, let's see if we're healthy this year? We've been doing that since Derrick Rose has been hurt. I'm tired of saying, hey, guys get hurt in this league, and it doesn't matter, and other teams still come through and they win, Joe. I mean, and like the last thing I would tell you, Joe, is that the fans very rarely have a voice. Today they got one, a national TV, and I think they still used it respectfully. And I think they made their voice heard as a collective group on sort of on a whim.
I don't have a problem with what they did. If you're not hurling insults, if you're not creating chaos, then I don't think you've crossed the line. So, I mean, I'm not going to fault the fans for what they did.
James in Midway, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jimmy?
Jim.
James.
Hello.
Hello. James. James.
Hey.
James.
James Midway.
Yep.
Jim.
James
Midway.
Is this Jim Midway? I'm just calling. I applaud the Bulls fans, what they did today. The best thing that could have happened, hopefully Garm, Pax, or Reinsdorf assess the situation, because it's ridiculous. I mean, Garm, Pax, if you go back to all the drafts since we missed out on D-Wade, we missed out on so many players every draft with the exception of D-Rose and the 2010 draft. You look back at all the drafts, the players that were chosen after the players we chose, even after Gordon, Dang, all them players, we missed out on a lot of good players afterwards. And the scouting is terrible. The management, packs, guard, they definitely got to go. It's ridiculous. Every year's the same thing. Trade deadline comes, nothing happens. Every year's the same thing. Get rid of them. Be gone.
Thanks, James.
I don't think booing or even like a loud group and a concentrated group would move them to make change. I'm fully on board with change because there's a financial dip in what their revenue is. That there's a dip in, listen, I've felt this for a long time. I thought the impetus for change was financial. And I'm not so sure because how long have people been upset? It's been a while. Now, you may say that this is the height of people being upset. I would argue that this is the height of apathy, but there are upset people. I've never thought that the loud group was going to force change. I just think that there's a lot of turning the head and walking the other way to hearing. I'm not suggesting that they don't. I think they hear everything. I think they read everything. I think they're fully aware of it. But at the highest level, which is at the ownership level, I think what speaks loudest to them is the lack of people coming through the building on a night in and night basis based on years gone by. So you could have a really, listen, fans, I've got a rule in life. Don't be a Richard. As long as you're not being a Richard, you're out there and you're voicing your opinion. You're doing what you are allowed to do and what you should do. Don't be a Richard, but voice yourself as much as you want. I think that change will come when fewer people are in their building.
Matt's in the loop. You're on ESPN 1000. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. I just want to call and say that what the Bulls fans did today on First Take, I applaud that, and they fulfilled their responsibility as being true Bulls fans. Now, is that going to actually make any change? I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that John Paxson has been in the front office for, 15, 16, 17 years. And they have gone through, is it 7 or 8 head coaches?
Depends if you count the interim guys. I mean, I think it's 5 full-time guys. But, yes, I get your point.
Sure, but still, what you're looking at, where's the issue there? He had arguably what could have been a Hall of Fame head coach in Tibbs and ran him out of town. We lucked into the number one pick and got D. Rose. We got a couple of decent draft picks. And still to this day, as you guys have discussed, Paxton and Foreman will still blame the injuries of D. Rose, which was 10 years ago, which is insane. So it's not about who we have. We can't wait. We can't talk about, oh, these players are young, because we've gone through this song and dance over and over again. It has nothing to do with the players. It also has nothing to do with our meat shield of a head coach, because that guy's just there protecting the front office. He's taking everything from an outsider's point of view who doesn't really know the ball. They're going to say, oh, we see this guy. Who is this clown head coach? This is why they're not good. No. Don Paxton's happy to have him there. Happy so that he could take it.
Right.
And he'll buy them a few more years. And it's sad. And Waddle, I'm in the camp of being apathetic. I sound upset now because when I actually talk about it, I think how stupid it is, and I get mad, but I don't watch him anymore because I don't want to support them. Well, I don't want to get emotionally invested in this organization because it's an absolute joke.
And I think that is the impetus for change. Apathy is the impetus for change. Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling people to not be pissed. Be pissed. Fans respond in a way that expresses their emotion. And in a lot of ways, you're screaming and you're upset. It's because you care. I get it. Like, people are
fans. I get worked up still.
Fans are different. You know, like, I always say this to people. Look, I know your story is like a quintessential fan story. You went to games with your grandfather. It means everything to you.
When they were bad.
Yes.
You know, and then it all paid off when Jordan came.
Yes.
So I invested in this team when they sucked.
Absolutely.
In the 70s. And then all of a sudden I was gifted the greatest thing any basketball fan has ever been gifted.
See, and look, my grandfather wore overalls and didn't wear a shirt and had no teeth and chewed tobacco and
That's
was a coal
cool
miner.
Too.
Lived
cool.
in Cincinnati. We didn't have a basketball team, nor did we have the wherewithal to go to games. My other grandfather was a custodian for Procter & Gamble. I didn't have that experience, right? So I can't, while I don't diminish your experience, my experience is different. I understand why people, you know, that like you are so passionate about it because it's part of your childhood. It's part of your existence. It's part of growing up. I'm just from a different perspective because I don't have that experience. And I look at it different and say, look, I think your anger and your emotion and your frustration is real and it's understandable. I'm just resistant to think that that's the impetus for change. I only think things are going to change when there's 12,000 people in the stands occasionally. Because I think with that particular entity, that will speak louder than the collective voices of people who are pissed. And I'm not telling you not to be pissed. You should be pissed.
Matt had a good call. And before I go to see Red Fred, the one point that I want to bring up is in most organizations, when you have a coach as successful as Tibbs, who you have a fight with, and then it's him, not you, and you keep your job, but he loses yours, it's usually a fireable offense if you follow him up with Fred Hoiberg and Jim Boylan. On that alone.
Absolutely.
On that alone.
Yeah.
That, hey, you had a falling out with this coach, and in his wake, you've hired Fred Hoiberg and Jim Boylan.
And it didn't work.
That right there, that should be enough. But you have far worse than that. Fred, see Red Fred, you're on ESPN 1000. Happy Friday, Freddie.
Hey, good to talk to you guys. I'm loving and not so much loving some of these arguments. I mean, a lot of emotional arguments, not a lot of logical arguments.
Oh.
What did Rob Pelinka do to deserve LeBron James? Like, there was no more incompetent franchise from 2015 to 2018 than the Los Angeles Lakers. Why did LeBron James go to L.A.?
Because he wanted to improve his brand, and that's where he wanted to live with his kids.
Yeah, it's 70 degrees there today, and it's, you know, 5 degrees here today. So I understand all the anger about the Gar and Pax, and some I think it was James talking about how they haven't drafted well. That's the least of what they've drafted extremely well. Jimmy Butler at 30 is arguably the best pick in the last decade. Like, what is he talking about? The reason there's one fireable offense, that's entrusting the talent that we acquired to this head coach. That's it. That's the only thing to me. I don't believe Lauri Markkanen is a talentless hack. I saw him average 25-12 last February. They have not put him in position to succeed. Zach LaVine is not a good player. He's one of the top 15 scorers in the league. Wendell Carter Jr. is one of the best defenders in the league, and he's going to develop into an all-NBA first team defensive player. Those are logical arguments. Logic is not. They fired Tibbs. Tibbs deserved to be fired. Jakeem Noah averaged 40 minutes per game in 2012.
I don't want to go back there.
December.
Fred, we know what? You know how we felt about that. We don't want to go back there. But it's still when you're
well, it's
only
being brought up. Well,
but the only Fred, the only coach who they found success in is him, and they could not make it work.
Well,
think
hold
about
on,
that.
Sylvie. Was it because of Tibbs, or was it because of Jakeem Noah and Derrick Rose and Taj Gibson and Jimmy Butler? I'm so sick of hearing, well, it was because of Tibbs, he changed the culture. No, it wasn't. We were a 500 team with a hack like a Vinny Del Negro.
I know, Fred, but they went from 41 wins to 62 wins in one season.
But Fred, it's a combination situation. The same way you say there's talent in Larry Marketing, but it's not coming out. There's two elements here. It's identifying talent, so you have talented players, and then you have to develop them. So, yes, Joakim Noah and Derek and Jimmy and Taj, they all deserve a ton of credit for improving on their own. But you also, in the same way you are suggesting that Jim Boylan is holding the current group back, you are suggesting that Tibbs was, you know, you have to give him credit for helping propel them forward.
Absolutely. That's a fair argument. I'm just pointing out Tibbs refused to change. He treated every game like a game seven. And because of that, Jakeem Noah is no longer in the league, and Derrick Rose had several years where he could barely walk. I'm just saying, he refused to change. He played Towns and Wiggins when they were a lottery team in the last two games of the season, 40 minutes a night in 2017.
Yeah, so like, you know, Fred, none of us want to relitigate Tom Thibodeau.
No, I don't either, but let's have logical arguments as the city. Like, I think it's time to move on. To act like these guys
really?
Did nothing
so
is wrong.
It's time to move on from management. You're on board now.
I've said this, Sylvie. I've said, to me, entrusting the development to Boylan is a fireable offense. And it's been a long time. Like, I think that's the best argument.
All right, we got on,
I still
Fred.
Love this team, and I want to see a change. I love you guys. But I don't agree with these arguments. Oh, they didn't draft well. Pound sand. They've been one of the best, they've been one of the best teams at acquiring talent for the last 20 years. And everybody was like, oh, it's going to get better. Are you sure about that? Because you know what? I saw it was dark days. We had 13 wins, 17 wins, 15 wins in 99, 2000, 2001. So it was a party what I'm experiencing now.
I'll get out of here. All right, Fred. Marky's in studio. He's going to join us coming up next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
All right, we got a picture here. This is what Martin Greco does best. He's painted a picture in the world of sports for the last 30 years in town.
38.
38 years. Wow, I was going to say 35, but then I didn't want to age you, but I was undershooting there.
Yeah, we're into the 38th year, if you can believe that.
Marky, can you paint the picture of what's going on behind the scenes in the First Midwest Bank studio?
Tom Waddle just stabbed himself in the thigh with a pen. He was dropping the pen. He tried to catch it in his crotch, and he stabbed himself in his thigh to where he's bleeding. He's drawing blood. He's trying to either cauterize the wound or put some disinfectant on. The guy is a mess. I saw the video promo on Twitter today. Hyping the show. Looked like a homeless guy.
He did look
Eat
like
potato
a homeless
chips.
Guy, yeah.
He's just so feeble. He's having intestinal issues.
Oh, yeah. I think he gambled and lost earlier today.
Oh, he definitely. I think he did. At one point, we were going to break, and he goes, how much time do we have?
What is the matter with this guy?
Come on, you can't see.
Yes, I can.
Did you just say sharded?
No, I said he has to go wipe himself.
He said during the break, how long do I have here to go wipe myself?
Oh, my gosh.
But wait, I don't understand this. I missed it. I was down on my phone as usual. So I hear a big bang in the studio, and then I hear Waddle scream. Did you see it happen?
He was a former wide receiver in the NFL. He can't catch a pen. He's lost everything. Motor skills.
What do you attribute
everything.
This to?
Yeah.
CTE.
Oh, please don't go there. I don't know. He's just
there's a lot of blood coming out of Waddle right now.
Are you okay there?
I'm gonna pass out.
Look at the oh my god, there's blood all over them.
All what's going on? How did this happen? What Plaxico? What happened here?
I had my pen. I was holding my pen. Yeah. I was sitting down and I dropped my pen and trying to catch it. I caught it between my legs like this. And I squeezed my legs so hard that the end of the pen went through my pants, and it, I have a puncture wound in my inside of my thigh.
That is the most painful thigh master exercise like ever.
Listen,
jeez, don't. Are you going to show me?
You need a tetanus shot, don't you?
I may.
He's unzipping his pants.
He's unzipping his pants.
He's pulling his pants down.
He's pulling his pants down.
Oh, my God.
Is it a deep wound?
It looks like a bullet hole.
Yes.
Buy me some penis and cracker jack.
I'm going to have to go up at the break and get some like some disfectant and like a Band-Aid.
You really are, because you're going to have blood poisoning.
Can you get me some of that?
Is there a nurse around State Lake?
I don't need a nurse.
Clean out the wound for a while.
I remember the days we used to have a nurse in the building. At the TV station, there was a nurse on call. There was a little,
Like at a school?
It was just like school.
Like how we used to be like, but we want a break, and we said, I have to go to the nurse.
Like at the merchandise mart, when I was working at NBC in the 80s, they had a nurse. It had like a little room, and guys would go in there and just take a nap.
Man down.
Can we call Nick Nurse?
Yes.
Have Nick
I'm
Nurse?
Not taking He's my pants town, off for Nick Nurse. I'm sorry. I'm
He's
not doing
He's a Cubs
it.
Fan.
What does that have to do with taking my pants off for to have... Stop.
Oh, you like the Cubs? Have at it, dude.
What?
You know what, sir? I like the Cubs.
Don't worry. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be intruding on your space, but I need to get my foot above my legs.
Someone in Nick Nurse's family is a doctor. Their name is Dr. Nurse.
That's right.
There's got to be a Dr. Nurse.
If...
Nurse.
Let's see.
What if you're a nurse and your last name is Nurse? You're Nurse.
He marries a woman. Her last name.
Can you send Nurse over here? Waddle just punctured his leg with a pen.
Or he marries a woman whose last name is Ratchet, and the kid has the hyphenated name Nurse Ratchet. There it is.
Nobody marries because of Doctor. Doctor Nurse Ratchet.
Nurse Shark. Calling Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard.
Can we document all the injuries throughout the years that Waddle has suffered under our watch?
Dude, I mean, it's crazy. Remember when I cracked my forehead on this television?
I caught him in the jaw today.
I was shooting a puck. It was actually a football. And I shot it at Abdallah and hit him, and he came flying over and, like, elbowed me in the jaw, and my jaw cracked.
He tried to put me in the board, so I put him back in the boards himself.
Nah, listen, that was
are worse injuries than your playing days.
No.
Give you 47 stitches?
No.
What was it?
No, it was just 25. 13 inside, 12 outside.
Will there be some day, and I think it's coming soon, where you can't get out of bed, where your body
I couldn't get out of bed this morning. It was 7 degrees below zero. It was like watching a mummy move around in a tomb.
Think about this just in the last several weeks. He's fallen down the stairs.
Yes.
Right?
Here, look at this. Right. I still have this wound. Look at this.
Oh, my God.
It's from falling down the stairs. And this knee is all bruised. Look at that.
He just stabbed himself with a pen.
I was carrying a table down the steps after clearing out the foyer for you clowns for the party.
You got elbowed in the face during the pickup basketball game.
Oh, yeah, I broke my nose out in the driveway.
If Kara took you to the ER, they'd arrest her for spousal abuse.
Probably. I think that recently happened, too.
What? Yeah. Really? She hit you?
No.
Oh, it's different.
Oh. Different
issue. Mallor, about this. In the last 3 months, has suffered worse injuries off the field than he did off.
Were you on that reality show?
50, I'll be 53 in a week, boys. Jeez.
He's got nothing left. He left it all out on the field, on Soldier Field.
I get zero.
We are in that reality show.
I got a hole on the inside of my thigh right now.
Sex took me to the ER.
What?
Beyond that show.
Oh, by the way, I picked one of my toenails off last night.
Don't. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, look. I was because I didn't have a toenail
clipper.
What
are you, a leper? It just fell off?
No. It was like it was all gross. And you know how the toenails
are gross
on your lower, like your smaller toes.
Now he's taking off his boots.
The toes are
it's like a dog paw. You got one little nail sticking out the side.
See that?
Yes.
Like I ripped off most of my toenail picking my toenail.
That's your ring toe right there.
Yeah. Right. The one. Yeah. I usually put a ring around it.
I think we just take you outside and shoot you.
He really is. I mean, he's
old Yeller.
Yeah. He's old Yeller.
Listen,
he was a good dog.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. It is what it is.
You know, I had a dog named Chopper. He was a Cocker Spaniel.
Excuse me? There's no chance you had a dog that was a Cocker Spaniel when you were a kid. You would have been arrested for all the stupid jokes.
No, he was a Cocker Spaniel, but he was so inbred that he was wild and crazy, and he bit everybody and kept biting the mailman.
Like my brother.
Right, and then he bit Patty Breen in the face, and that was it. I remember the dog catcher came as a pickup truck with a cage on the back, and my sister and I are standing in the driveway.
They have a big net?
And they put the dog in the cage, and my sister and I are standing in the driveway crying. They drive away by chopper, you know.
What happened with your dog? Didn't you used to have a dog that had seizures or something?
Oh, Fluffy, the dog I grew up with, sat at the porch when you walked in the front door. There was a pad where you take your shoes off. You couldn't take your shoes off because Fluffy was there.
Fluffy had
epilepsy as a dog. God. Like, she'd bite the hell out of you and then like puke everywhere and be shaking on the ground.
You used to like buff the floor a little bit.
It's like this was my dog growing up. Aww. I mean, you were more likely to get bit than anything.
Wow.
Dude, it was rough.
You had a rough life. Yeah. You had a rough life.
Yeah, it was like, hey, we got a dog. It's got epilepsy and it bites. That's not a dog. That's a wild animal. I mean, for the love of God.
Just frothing at the mouth?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we used to have to take it in.
That high-pitched bark.
What's wrong with it?
Did you get him from a shelter?
I don't know where we got it. I think it was in the woods roaming around, and we just brought it home. Put a leash on it.
Then we had Barkley. He was a King Charles Cavalier Spaniel.
You did not have a King Charles whose name was Barkley.
No, this is BS.
My kids named him Barkley. Absolutely.
Oh, this is after Charles. Yeah. Okay.
Named after Charles Barkley. Plus, it's a dog, so you got the bark part. Okay. I just fed him every night table scraps from the refrigerator, and he gained about 40 pounds.
Right.
And so we had to get him in a little program. You know.
My current dog used to poop money.
Listen, my dog,
the eating money part's the weird part.
That's where you don't poop it out unless you eat it.
Right.
The dog would just like, if you had like a jacket with money in it, you were done.
Yeah, my ex-wife's cat did that. And they finally had to cut it open because it was so sick. Whoa. They found a couple pennies, a needle, some thread.
Oh, geez.
It's like a shark, license plate, you know, everything. But I hated that cat. I couldn't stand it.
I'll tell you what, that's been my most fun 10 minutes of the week.
Well, I'm going upstairs to cover this puncture wound. I'll be back.
Waddle's going to get sewn up. If you want to weigh in on any of this, Mark Gene Greco is here. He's brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Simply the best. We were there on Wednesday. They treat all our listeners like they're VIPs. That's the key guy, David Flom and Maddie Moore, going to hook you up. They're having a big all-star weekend with... It's going to be a who's who and great steaks, seafood. Mark loves the Dover sole. Yeah.
Did you see the Tribune? Places to go in Chicago for all the all-stars. Chicago Cuts right there on top. And it says the place to see all the celebs.
Did we play the Jeopardy thing for you yesterday?
No.
Did you hear that?
Uh-uh.
Do you have that, Mel, or is it still on my screen here?
By the way, Waddle left.
Yeah, we'll play that coming up next. Waddle left to get sewn up. We'll do that here in a second. We do things a little differently these days. Not now. No, not now. He keeps looking at me. Not now. Oh, settle down.
I'm going to leave too. Remember when you left me in the studio by myself?
We
I'm
going
to do
out.
That to you.
I think we manage. More coming up next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
I was just about to say Waddle's MIA, but you walked back in.
I'm fixed.
They cut his leg off. Look at that.
Alcohol swab, some ointment, a Band-Aid, and I'm ready to roll. I could do this for another 4 hours.
Speaking of ointment, did you see the story about Toronto Blue Jays catcher Reese McGuire?
No, what happened?
He was arrested for allegedly masturbating in his car in a crowded parking lot in Florida.
Okay.
Come on, you can say that.
It's
a medical term.
Yes.
No. I don't think it's a medical term. I don't think that's medical.
Yeah, I don't like that.
He was pleasuring himself in his car. I can say that. Okay, so the Toronto Sun, which is like the New York Post, had the headline of the day.
I don't know if we...
I'm going to say it, so get ready.
It's what happens
in a car.
It says,
carjacking. How good is that? And it said, batter up. What's wrong with that?
I mean, what do you call it when someone steals their car?
I should have stayed upstairs.
A carjacker.
Yeah.
Right. So?
Yeah, that's
there
fine.
There it is.
Bill,
keep your finger off that button.
I know. I'm being extra careful. Bill in Milwaukee.
For what?
Bill,
this is the segment
Friday,
where we're
man.
Not careful, and it's Friday.
No, we always have to be careful.
No, the new
you think that this is the segment.
The new boss said it's okay. I can just go off. It's in my deal.
Bill in Milwaukee, say hi to Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Bill, you got any openings at radio stations in Milwaukee?
I have no idea. I don't listen to the stations up here.
But wait, I think, doesn't Good Karma own a station in Milwaukee?
Yeah, in Milwaukee.
I'll just go up there.
In TMJ.
All right. Go ahead.
I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener.
Thanks,
pal.
And I am chuckling at Waddle because I am glad that I'm not the only person that's a klutz.
Yeah, listen, this is not a fun way to get through things.
I was calling originally about some of the conversations with the Bulls, and as much as I liked Paxton as a player, I think it is time to see if we can find a better general manager. We definitely need better scouts, and I really think that we need a coach that can be with the younger players better, which Waddle mentioned. And I think the big thing, too, is we need a coach that will give the team some sort of direction as to how they're going to approach their game plan every night. It seems like there's just nothing going on that is organized.
Absolutely right, Bill. You see Lauri Markkanen just kind of drifting up and down the court, not knowing what he's supposed to do. I think that's a general consensus. We love Pax as a person. We loved and admired him as a player. Mm-hmm. He has a job for life there. He'll probably stay for life because that's the Reinsdorf way. But it is time. And I hear Cap and everybody else talking about how they're going to be major, major changes. Cap, you know, saying that Pax will be kicked upstairs even further. And that Gar will be gone, and the new scouting department, everything else. I hope that happens. We need a fresh start.
I've never wanted Cap to be right as much
neither.
As I do now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've never agreed with him on anything except for this.
I mean, to me, one of the biggest indictments is, and look, I know Coby White is what, 19? Not even 19, probably
right.
18.
He only played his freshman year.
Right. The fact that he's not participating in this game. Now, maybe Coby White ends up not being the player we all had hoped he would be, but, like, I don't see any development. He should mm-hmm. be playing in this,
he was
this Futures game.
He was the seventh overall pick.
Right.
How could
seventh
he not be in the top whatever players?
Right.
I've been saying it forever.
And it's not because he's been hurt. He's been hurt. You know what I'm saying? Because he's been available.
But that's a great point. It's the hometown team.
Right.
They would do anything they could to put him in.
If it was close, he'd be there.
Seventh pick of the draft.
Anywhere else, that's what happens. The hometown loads up their guys in all the events. But I've been saying it forever on social media, here, on TV, for months. It's the Bulls are so disrespected. No one cares about this franchise. They are irrelevant to the NBA front office. It's unbelievable.
Here's the do you have the Alex Trebek stuff from Jeopardy? This from 2 days ago.
Your mother Trebek.
Listen to this. I mean, you talk about a great week for Chicago Cut, your fine sponsor, Marky. Listen mm-hmm. to this from 2 days ago.
Restaurant's 400.
This beefy building follows the names of Chicago's Chicago Cut and Minneapolis's Manny's. Josh.
Was Chop House?
Nope. Jamie or Danielle?
How dare you, Josh.
You're close, Josh. Not Chop House, but Steakhouse.
Yeah,
back
come
you.
On.
Wow.
How dare you, Josh.
Jeez, how do you not know that? By the way, Chad Johnson never got back to me. I hope he went to Chicago Cut instead of the other two places he mentioned.
Did you wish ill will on him because he never responded to your DM?
No,
did you try sliding
I let
in his DMs?
I kind of let it go because, you know, he's desperate for attention. You know.
Kevin and Homewood.
Aren't we all?
Yes, we
aren't
are.
We
what
all?
Are we doing right here?
Right.
Kevin, speaking of attention, give some to Marky right now.
Hey, guys. So 38 years ago, you started up there, Mark?
Yes, sir.
With the sports. I was born in 82, so that would put me at 38.
Yes, yes.
Not
nice.
To make you feel old or nothing.
That's okay. They make me feel really old every day.
No, the reason I say that is because I grew up in the 90s with the Bulls. And cried the day that Jordan announced his retirement, cried when he came back. We saw the best of days. I was at the first Bulls game after they won the final championship, the ring ceremony in 99 after the lockout. It was, I thought that was rock bottom, and this is rock bottom.
because at least we knew it could get better then.
Right.
And I have a 5-year-old. We went to Tommy Edwards' final game a few months ago.
Little Tommy.
And it was a great. It was like I was in tears watching and hearing that. And it's like that's the last time. That's actually like the only time in the last 4 years that I have spent money on this team. And I love the Bulls.
That's the general consensus for sure. People have just kind of drifted away. It's Carmen was talking earlier today about, hey, you know, they had some good teams after that. There were these guys and these. No. No.
Well, they were pretty good.
They were pretty good. You never expected anything out of them, though.
Well, I'm just saying to I mean, injuries are injuries. But a team with Lauri Markkanen, Otto Porter, Zach LaVine, Wendell Carter Jr.,
Kobe White.
That team
should be better.
Should be better.
That's what Wendell Carter said today. We interviewed him at the Rising Stars practice. And he's saying, look, you know, people don't think so, but, you know, I'm not overstating this. If we're all healthy, we're a young team that needs to be reckoned with. And I even kind of smirked at that. But you know what? If you look at the big picture, he's right.
Mm. Well, I just.
Okay, see?
What all did right. you see from them when they were all healthy? And Otto Porter Jr. is probably the one that wasn't healthy the longest.
Yeah.
But let you believe that they were being developed and everything was headed in the right direction.
He was going to be the veteran stabilizer while these guys develop.
Wendell Carter Jr. is a fantastic glue guy for you. He plays excellent defense. I don't think he has made more than 7 shots outside the paint because who's developing this mid-range game that he should have?
All right, I want to go over what's coming up here, guys. We've got the Odds Couple with Carmen and Mike North next. Then we've got the Best of Chuck, the Best of Barkley. We're going to give you a solid hour of our Charles Barkley show coming up at 7 o'clock. And the entire replay of that show is tomorrow at noon. Also, we are carrying the Rising Stars game coming up at 8 o'clock. Great work all week by Adam Abdallah and Jeff Meller. Thank you to Mark Grace, Michael Wilbon, Steve Levy, and Mark Jean Greco, who is brought to you again by Chicago Cut. For Marky and Waddle, I'm Sylvie. Get that thing cleaned up, Waddle.
You mean that wound on my leg.
Yeah. With a tourniquet on it.
I'm Sylvie. Have yourself a great weekend.
It's the classic.
That was fun stuff. That's fun stuff.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfort.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No, hi from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'll give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.